Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio. All right, everybody, welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. It is Tuesday, October, I think the 2nd. Jonathan, welcome back to the show once again, my friend. How was your weekend?
You think it's the 2nd? Man, you must have had a good weekend.
I had to look. The calendar turned, and I had to look because it's 80 degrees out here in Indianapolis again, and fall came, and it's like it went back away again.
Well, you know, Indianapolis weather. Rains today. High 90s tomorrow. By Friday, who knows? It might be sleeting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had a very interesting another week in football. We've got the baseball playoffs that are starting. They started yesterday. With those tiebreaker games.
Yeah.
And then the Cubbies tonight, which should be interesting. I do have some money on the Cubs in this game tonight, so I can't see them losing two straight one-game games.
Dude, they're talking to insiders. I don't know. Do you want to talk about the Cubs real quick? Can we talk?
Yeah, we can.
If he don't win, it's 50-50 if he stays. Can you believe that? The manager.
I can. And I'll tell you why. Because
I'm an outsider when it comes to all things baseball. You know, coming up, I grew up on baseball. But, you know, basketball took over the world. Football took over the world for my mind and my dollar. But baseball obviously draws my attention. Come the fall, and here we are in the fall, and they're talking about a guy who helped break the curse. They're talking about letting, and they got 90 wins like the past three seasons or something like that. I do believe. I checked it out. I do believe. You would let that go? It's time to go?
Well, the problem is, Jonathan, is that there have been rumblings over the last 2 years that Theo and Joe and even Ricketts, the owner, haven't seen eye to eye on some of the decisions in the offseason and players and stuff that they've made. And Joe's been boisterous about it, I guess, behind closed doors, and it's rubbed some people along the wrong way that if they don't win, he may be out.
Right. So basically,
but I don't know who you bring in.
Obviously Girardi, because he's out there. That's on everybody's wish list. Well, every fan's wish list is that somehow Joe Girardi, you know what I'm saying, has this you know, breakup with the Yankees and comes over to the Cubs and gets back on the winning track and maybe get the Cubs to win another World Series. But the Cubs got the bats to win the World Series?
They do have the bats. They just don't have the pitching.
Okay. All right, well, we can panel listen. I was just kind of curious.
Absolutely, I think tonight Cubs. Quick prediction: 7-3 Cubs.
Okay,
I think they get the bats. They got John Lester on the mound, Mister No Runs Allowed. I think they get it done. Quite frankly, I think they should have pitched Lester yesterday. Just because, you know, you don't have to go back-to-back as a team. You get those days off and that rest, which is a whole nother issue I have with Major League Baseball. Here's the fact, Jonathan. You've got your National League tiebreaker games yesterday. You have two of them, okay? Your American League, that's already set. And the American League wild card does not start until Wednesday. So the losers last night have to start the very next day, less than 24 hours later. Why couldn't MLB just move them to Tuesday, the Yankees and the Athletics, and then go ahead and just put the losers of those two games last night, give them a day of rest, and let them play on start on Wednesday?
Is Major League Baseball fighting for viewership?
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's deep, bro. Now, think about it. Is Major League Baseball fighting for viewership? Everybody says this is the best time for sports, and it is. I will have. You got baseball, you got football, you got basketball. You know, shoot. In a week from now, we'll be talking about college. Well, preseason, right? You know.
Right.
So, but baseball. But who's on the front page? Football. Still.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We're leading in with football. I can't wait to start talking about football. You know what I mean? But. This is so baseball has to do these two things to get attention. My point.
Yeah.
my opinion. They still draw. I don't want to get twisted. Baseball still draws, but, you know.
And everybody will be third, watching it tonight.
Right. But are they the third? Are they the third most watched, you think?
Yeah. Well, based on time frame, yeah. I think during the summer.
Okay.
Well, actually, during the summer, I think they're less watched during the summer because everybody's out doing activities and stuff. And it's such a long season.
I didn't watch the game. And I usually sneak into a BW3. Sorry to be plugging them, saying sponsor. I usually sneak into BW3, you know, to watch a game. I know, you know, that's snooze fest sitting at a bar watching baseball. But, you know, but I did not make it in. Nothing attracts me to baseball like it used to. As a youth, but
yeah.
the playoffs do. So,
last year's
eyes peeled for sure.
Last year's playoffs were amazing. I remember watching Houston and the Dodgers in the World Series, and that going back to forth and back and forth, and all these home runs that were hit. And that's what everybody loves is home runs.
Right.
I watched the beginning of the season. I tune in close to the All-Star break, and then I really kind of start honing back in at the beginning of September just so I can kind of get my bearings set for the playoffs. And, of course, my Reds are not in the playoffs and never will be again. So I really don't have a dog in the race. If I had to choose a team I'd like to see, I still think in the division in National League Central. I'll roll with the Cubs for this and see how they do. I don't really have a dog in the fight since the Reds are out, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
the
Brewers are waiting. Whoever wins this, you got to play the Brewers. So.
Yeah, I will say, watching the baseball playoffs on TBS and the Fox Sports 1, we will be without one of the better announcers.
Yeah,
I don't know if Jonathan. Yeah, Ernie went live. He's got blood clots, seeking treatment. He'll still be there for basketball when it comes up here in a couple weeks. Jonathan, that's probably one of my favorite times is when Ernie Johnson, Shaq, Kenny, and Barkley. I love that show. I could not imagine
that show
without him.
I could not either. But you know what? Sometimes I think they need to switch it up a little bit. But Ernie's a couple of, hey, dude, how long has he been doing that? That's like over 20-something years. He's been with TBS and TNT and broadcasting. I mean, I'm talking about in general. We just had a couple of them there. That's amazing. And he, you know, a lot of times those people get, you know, they want to go on and do other things. And he just, you know, he found his dream job and he's sticking with it. I think we're all better for it because he's a golden voice.
I think he was there. I think he was there back when Hulk Hogan was in the back of the convertible when he signed with WCW.
Wow. when he was the first. Wow.
All right. Let's. I never thought we would start with baseball to lead things off. So that's great. Let's go straight to the NFL. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's go straight to this Colts game. Colts lose in overtime. Questionable call, maybe not a questionable call. I like it.
You know,
I liked it.
Was it a precursor to, like, was my question about how you felt about ties a precursor to this coastal? Like, you're posting, like, everybody in their mother sits on their couch, like, yeah, of course you go for it because you want to win the game. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Now you can nitpick, which what we should do is nitpick just the play that was drawn up. Don't nitpick the play for going for it. Nitpick the play that was kind of called for it. Now, if you want to be a smart aleck, you know, football fan, then nitpick that. But and even that, you know, I heard some smart Mark talk about he wanted to see because they didn't two out hit one even in the game, if I'm not mistaken, and the target was Chester Rogers. And of course, you know, I'm talking about the last play of the Colts possession when they went for it, and he didn't catch it, or what have you. So, like I said, with all that being said, like again, I'm not. I just didn't win a Super Bowl. Did you, Brandon? So I'm not.
Nope.
Who am I to question? And I get it. We have a bad taste in our mouth from the era that passed. We won't really go unnamed. right? We're critical, super critical of that era, but this is what you're supposed to do. You go for it. And again, like I said, the play that was called and was drawn up just didn't come to our favor. And maybe our best player should have been in, or maybe our best player should have been targeted, and that didn't happen. And like, a lot of fans are like questioning why now, with the fact that they got Chuck Pagano on the mind, but they should get Chuck Pagano out of the mind. That's what I'm trying to say. So,
okay.
It didn't go, you know, the ball, you know. Here's what you should take from it, though, my personal opinion. It's like, you know, afterwards he said, you know, coach said being aggressive. That's what he wants, to be an aggressive football team. And that's what, that, you know, being young and aggressive, and I think that's why the Colts have a lot of penalties on defense. Because even though the defense is good now, it does make a lot of penalties. You know what I mean? It does make a lot of mistakes. But aggressive, that's what you want from a fan's point, and from a football, you don't want a bend don't break. You want, let's go get it. So that's what I took from, even though the Colts lost, and even though it was a play that wasn't fortuitous for the Colts, that's what I took back from it. Is that lesson, right? I get it, you're 1-3, but you got to remember, this season is not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? And it's been lesser teams. You know, again, get Peyton Manning out of your mind. Get the 12-4 teams, 13-3 teams, whatever the case may be, 15-1. Get that out of your mind. And get this team in your mind and remember that it's not over yet, because we lost to this division opponent, but we still, who believes, raise your hands. I know this is radio, right? Raise your hand. Who believes in who's the number one team right now in the AFC South, Tennessee? Who believes? Raise your hand. Nobody.
No.
Anybody?
No.
Anybody? Of course, put folks down in Nashville, of course. They in Knoxville, of course, they would raise their hands. But nobody believes that Tennessee can hold on to this lead. Everybody still assumes that Jacksonville, who also playing ridiculously shitty, sorry, pardon my French, they got the talent, but they're not putting together wins after wins, because guess what? Kind of like you said, Brandon, New England, that's not a really sleeping bear. We know about it. It's a juggernaut of a bear. They are going to wake up because everybody doubted them. So Miami went up there and took a piss on them down the leg, and now New England still the favorite to win the AFC, when 2 weeks ago it was wide open. So
yep.
It's not time to panic mode, Coach. It's time to maybe – okay, I know I'm going around the world. It might be some time to nitpick your coddle quarterback.
Oof.
Because he's a little coddle. I know it's unpopular, you know, but again, the defense is playing like you want it to play. It's young, it's aggressive. Okay? Could it be better if we had Bradley Chubb? Maybe, but then Andrew Luck would be getting sacked more than he's gotten sacked already, believe it or not. So,
yeah.
Again, our defense is where it's at. I think so long as nobody.
But is
hurt,
it, John? Is the defense where you want it to be at? Because you gave up 37 points.
Well, that's because, thank you, quarterback. How many did you give up?
let's see, seven.
Again, my point going into the season was if he could play, he'd have to play better. And again, I know this is all things the NFL has done to limit practices. We all know Andrew Luck is a quarterback savant. We all know he's a quarterback genius. But this is also a new offense for him. Now, again, I'm not trying to make that's the coddle's argument, but that also is the truth. This is a new offense for him to learn. And again, I don't want to go because again, we got to talk about your Steelers. But the season is a marathon, and we have to remember that we can lose all our games. We don't want to. We can lose all our games against non-division opponents, and then go into division and win our division and still make the playoffs. I don't think the coaches. That's not the plan. I guarantee the plan, as long as the man is healthy, on Thursday we're going to try to beat New England, right? But again, if we lose that game, and I don't think they're thinking that. I'm just saying, if we lose that game, we have, I do believe, 7 more games against divisional opponents that we can
yes.
win. If we win, we can get into the playoffs. Lesser teams
yep.
have won the Super Bowl at 8-8.
Yeah. And, you know, the biggest thing with this Colts, and, you know, we talked about it last week on the show, was as there's a big thunder roar outside. I don't know if you can hear that or not. There was a huge crack of lightning and thunder. The Colts rush game is still nowhere to be found. Wilkins, 8 carries, 16 yards. Luck, 3 carries, 11 yards. Hines, 4 carries, 10 yards. Yes, you get Christine Michael. Christine Michael got cut. You get Robert Turbin back from a 4-game suspension this week. Will that help the running game? I don't know. But you got Andrew Luck up there throwing 462 passes, 464 yards. Yes, 4 touchdowns, no pick. That's a great game for Andrew Luck. But, John, I want to go to the silver lining of Andrew Luck because I was at work. We were watching the game towards the end, and I significantly, and you may have as well, I saw 2 different throwing motions by Andrew Luck. And the deep ball that he went to throw was a totally different form, and it looked like it had no zip on it whatsoever. It looked like a wounded duck.
Yeah. Folks are questioning Andrew Luck's velocity. Until Andrew Luck gets hurt, he's still a better option. Whether you believe, I thought he played fine. As far as, you know what I'm saying, getting the ball down the field. Really. Until he cannot play, he's still the starting quarterback. He's got to play better, though.
Right. Speaking of this week, before that we talk about this week's game, funny percentage, 20. So the Colts have played 25% of their season, and 26% of their roster is on the injured list, which you can add that now from 26% to 27%, because I just got a push notification that now Adam Vinatieri, groin, added to the injury report, may not play Thursday. That's breaking news.
Well, you know, I know Cassandra, how long does it take before he has to go to IR, Cassandra?
I don't know. It got to be soon. I mean, hell, he'd be back in like 3-4 weeks early.
I thought he had to be back by like week 4 or 5 before they had to call season on a player.
That I'm not 100% sure on.
Okay. The Colts kind of probably going to catch the injury bug playing, you know, middle part of the season. I mean,
and your boy T.Y. Hilton, is he's not playing. He's doubtful for this week. With 2 injuries.
He's been doubtful for the last couple of weeks.
Ooh, JB. Throwing that shade. So it looks like Ryan Grant's going to be your number 1 wide receiver, and then I guess Eric Ebron, number 2, and then Chester Rogers. So those will be your 3 guys. If you hear that banging noise right now, that's the rain on the window. So it's pouring down rain out here right now. So it's going to New England, Thursday Night Football. I think this will be the second Boston Massacre that we could be witnessing with the Colts going up there, John. I think they just get – I hate to say I think they get throttled. And I think Josh McDaniels being part of it, I think the Patriots are going to run up that score on Indianapolis.
The Patriots did look awesome, but they are playing a little bit better team than the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. The Dolphins laid a huge egg with that. Going next, let's do our predictions. I'm going to say 41-13 Patriots.
The Patriots will win by 6. It'd be close.
Wow. 6. There you heard it, folks. Jonathan Bernstein having faith in the Indianapolis
Colts. The Colts ain't ready to jump out, but I cannot. Foxborough, like, it's too much for this young team. So I'm not saying blowout, but Andrew Luck's got to get it between. We cannot get down against the Patriots. There's no way you're going to hawk up Hawking up against the Texans is one thing. Hawking up against Bill Belichick is a whole other ball of animals. Whole other ball of anything. So it'll be a close game. It'll be a close game.
Let's see. We have the Rams are still, to me, still the best show on grass now.
Even after last night, yeah. I missed the game. I saw a couple of highlights of Kansas City from last night's game. They're playing a little bit better defense. I was kind of anxious to see Chubb, light up my screen, because I know that a lot of Colts fans wanted Bradley Chubb to come here.
Right.
But you saw the game. Did you watch the game last night?
I did. I watched probably about half of it.
What did you think about Patrick Mahomes in real time?
The dude, I don't know. I'm not gonna pump my brakes like I did with Ryan Fitzpatrick when ESPN and everybody was all over his nuts early in the season, but Andy Riggs got his quarterback and knows how to use them. He's using them effectively. I think he is a top. Would I pick Patrick Mahomes in a late game possession over Tom Brady? And I need a score. No. Would I pick him over Rodgers? No. Would I pick him over Breeze? No. Would I pick him over Ben or even Rivers? No, I wouldn't. I think he's still top 10 quarterback. I think I got him 7 or 8 on my list, but not, I wouldn't. There's a lot of other quarterbacks, John, I would pick to lead me on a final possession before I'd pick Mahomes.
Has he leapfrogged Cam?
Not yet, no.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet. Could, but not yet.
Transition, because they're playing. There's a collision course that's going to happen with those two teams. What do you think about, Goff looked like Peyton freaking Manning.
Yeah.
Throwing it. Oh, wow. I thought Minnesota would give him a bump, and they didn't. They're not enough for one.
No. And the Rams go and play Seattle this week. So, you know, that's legion of boom and doom is not there anymore. And that's a whole nother story. I want your thoughts. What's your thoughts on Earl Thomas flipping off his teammates and his coaches and everybody when he got the broken leg?
He's just the most angriest man in the NFL. He's just angry. They do have sports psychologists, don't they? He needs
they
one
do.
If he ain't got one already. He needs one if they don't have one already.
Yeah, he was not too happy. And if you know, and you're gonna have half the people say, you know what, hey, it's what happens. Unfortunately, it's the nature of the business, but you also have the other half people that say, hey, that's why he was sitting out and holding out for a better deal, because something like this could happen, and next thing you know, he's got that broken leg, and he may have lost his son next year and lose out on millions of dollars. He's trying to protect him and his family. I sit in the middle. I can go both ways on it. I don't really have a side on it, if that makes sense.
Makes total sense. I can't tell somebody how to be classy. So I guess I sort of sit in the middle. I just wouldn't be flipping everybody off, you know. It's unfortunate that it happened. I mean, he's one of the NFL's great players, you know what I mean, for the last 6 years or so. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he's put that much of his, you know, time and body, blood, sweat, and tears, as Ric Flair said, and paid the price.
right.
You know, trying to play out here and trying to continue to be a star. And I do get both sides.
Funny, I just saw a post that the Chiefs-Broncos game last night was ESPN's most viewed Monday Night Football game since September of 2017. So, in the past year, that was the most viewed game on Monday Night Football. So, could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. It means there could be bad matchups, too.
Right. Well, Denver's not out of it. They still had a chance to win.
Yeah. I mean, they don't impress me that much, but I'm not that impressed with Denver.
Yeah.
Especially with Vance Joseph as one of the coaches, because he's on my hot seat still.
Dude, after the tirade I heard, it was the most afraid I've ever heard Todd Bowles ever heard. Yeah, he's on the hot seat too. I totally agree.
Thank you. I appreciate you finally agreeing with me on that one. Not on the hot seat is the boys up in Chicago. My goodness, Trubisky, 6 touchdowns.
Woo! Like a world beater, didn't he?
I don't know what the Steelers did to the Bucks, but my God, it carried over.
They brought a lot. Well, what we know now is that Fitzpatrick can't deal with pressure. He can't. Now you let him have time. So, like again, this is always the feel good feeling of football, right? The first 2 weeks of the season. You know, it's feel good. I mean, we're back, and, you know, cheerleaders are jumping up around, and fireworks are popping off, and everybody's happy for football. So, you know, guys maybe not – I'm thinking psychologically. Guys maybe not giving their full rush. So, Fitzpatrick goes out here and has these monster games. Now everybody's geared in. Then ESPN rolls in, Fox News Sports comes in, you know, Crossroads Sports rolls in and starts criticizing. Oh, man, so's trash. The Steelers are trash when it comes to pass rush. And then next thing you know, Fitzpatrick's on his ass. Well, guess what? Same thing happened. They figured, they defensive coordinator watched the film and said, hey, Fitzpatrick can't deal with pressure.
Right.
And guess what? Well, it's not that hard for Chicago to deal with pressure, right? Chicago, I do believe, were a top 5 defense defensively. I know they suck. Overall as a team, I can say that. They sucked overall as a team last year, but defensively, I can't remember where they were at. But they were, I want to say, I do believe they were top 5 last year. I can take aways and points and whatnot. But, again, you have to fact check me. But now, guess what? They're probably, for sure, top 2.
Well, Trubisky didn't have anybody to throw to last year, too, if you look at that team. I mean, everybody was hurt or whatnot. And, you know, Brandon Brantley and Mitchell Larry, they're living their best lives right now with the way these Bears are playing.
Bears fans 2 weeks ago were wondering why they didn't draft the kid from that went to Houston.
Watson?
Yeah. Everybody. And again, dude, you know what? Between those two, I see now. I mean, it was a gamble. All picks are a gamble, right, Brandon? All picks, whether it's number one or the last one, the 601, all picks are a gamble. But the gamble for Trubisky was, you know, he was healthy. Oh, he was a healthier quarterback because he didn't. Watson, I believe, had knee surgery in college, and guess what? He had knee surgery again here in the NFL. So it's kind of the better pick. It was, you know, you could see Trubisky had the high ceiling that you're gambling on, and
right.
I see why they went with Trubisky. Watson might be stat wise the better quarterback, but he's going to be often injured. Looks like.
Yeah, well, I have to do it because I'm a humble guy, and I admit when I'm wrong, and I hold my hand up, and it pains me to play this sounder. And I'm going to play it now. But I was wrong. I was wrong. 3-4 weeks ago, I said Khalil Mack was not an MVP caliber player, and he can't change the ball that much. I was wrong. Khalil Mack is a beast. He is a force to reckon with. Another strip sack.
He's playing star football. That's for darn sure.
Oof. I almost got to play it twice because I'm so adamant that Khalil Mack couldn't do it. Now I've done it twice to myself, so I'm humble. I know when I made a mistake, so don't say I didn't, people, because I did. I admit it. I'm wrong.
I would ask. Can the Bears keep the lead?
Well, we'll find out.
As my friends on Showtime say, winter is coming.
Yeah. True. You know, I give myself credit, John, for being humble, because I'm a pretty humble guy. Yeah, we'll do a round of applause. I'm very humble at times. I admit when I'm wrong. I also admit when I'm right. But these Bears, let me, as you said, let me see what these Chicago Bears are once it gets in November and December. That's when I want to see what type of Chicago Bears team we have. They don't have to go to Lambeau. They've already done that. And they really should have won that. And you look at it, they should have won that game. If it wasn't
right.
for Aaron Rodgers.
You know, things always get quirky with them in Minnesota.
Yep, they always do. What was I going to say? I guess we'll go to the next one I have is, yep. We're playing the funeral music. This is going to go out. And I hate to do it, John. I hate to do it because they were a Super Bowl pick of mine.
Oh,
but
wow.
The Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Happy trails. This is also to the careers of Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, hell, Le'Veon Bell, because they're not going to be able to do anything in offense if this defense continues to play the way they have been and giving up yards and giving up points and giving up first downs. You're sabotaging your offense. I've said it for the last year and a half now on this radio or podcast I've done. If you don't improve the defense, it's sabotaging your offense. You can have all the best players on offense. I don't understand. It looked like a swish cheese out there. How much holes and just throwing all over them. Joe Flacco, we made Joe Flacco look like a damn NFL MVP, and that is terrible. Joe Flacco, hell, he shouldn't even be on the field. It should be Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
And we got our asses handed to us by the Baltimore Ravens, handed to us. And Keith Butler needs to be fired. I'm sick and tired of hearing Mike Tomlin talk about three things: accountability, we're going to watch the tape, we have to be better, and we have to respect that they were the better team. Mike, I need results. I need people's asses on the line. I need people fired. You've done this time after time now, my friend. What are you going to do? We have now Le'Veon Bell, who says he's going to be back in 2 weeks. Go ahead and add that to the circus once more. Le'Veon Bell coming back week 7 during the bye week, ready to go week 8 against the Browns. We can have him, and he can score four, five, six, seven touchdowns. The problem is the defense is going to give up 9 or 10. John, in short, after my rant here, I haven't given up on the season. I'm expecting us to score and do everything we can there, and our defense to suck all year long. So I don't have hopes on us to go very far.
It's rough. I thought I had painted a pretty crystal clear picture a couple weeks ago for Pittsburgh, and I thought that's kind of usually how they kind of fall suit. But with the Baltimore game, it kind of fell apart. They looked disconnected on offense. Like Ben didn't know what he wanted to do.
Yeah. Now next week we'll win. We will win. The Steelers will win next Sunday. I guarantee it. Go ahead, get your Bovada or get your MyBookie account. Get your little debit cards out. Go ahead. You hear that? Yep. We're cashing money. Go ahead and take the Steelers -3 next week against the Atlanta Falcons and take the over, because these two teams don't play defense and they score all the time. The over-under is 56.5. Take the over and the Steelers -3. You'll make some money out of it.
I believe that. The Atlanta Falcons like to gift wrap everything.
Yep. Speaking of gift wrap, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns, who thought they had a gift wrapped win, and the NFL said, au contraire, this is not a first down. Did they screw him out of it?
That was poorly officiated. Well, that was poorly officiated. I thought it was the first down. I've never seen anything like that, but it was frustrating to watch that. The players remain professional on the field, which is great. But John Gruden finally wins the game in his comeback tour, but It was certainly a gift wrap to him, wasn't it?
Oh, Lord, we have our first Shaq and a Fool moment that happened tonight. Malik Monk, who played for your Kentucky Wildcats, went to check in and realized that he didn't have his jersey on. So he had to run back to the locker room. So there's your first Shaq and a Fool.
Monk should have stayed in Kentucky.
Absolutely. Going quickly to the college football. Let's go to the big games, the two big games we had. First, Penn State, Ohio State, the Criminal Bowl, as some people like to call it, the Domestic Violence Awareness and Child Seduction Bowl, they call. What did you think, John? Penn State, they had that game, John. What a terrible play call. Put it in McSorley's hand, let him roll out and either run the ball or throw a little dump pass to a tight end or a wide receiver. To call three timeouts back-to-back, all these teams, and then hand the ball off when you knew they were loading up the box. Ugh.
I think Penn State coach ran up the score on all of his preseason teams before and other Big Ten teams that he had to play before he played Ohio State because he knew he was going to piss his pants. And that's why I went with Ohio State. That's why he ran. Now, guess what? They'll bounce back, and they'll blow out whoever from here on out. And it'll make their resume look even bigger, and they'll try to get into the Sugar Silver Bowl. I just made that one up, right? But they'll try to get into whatever bowl. But as far as playing against Alabama or playing against – well, I know we know Alabama's in. Or playing against another – maybe LSU, right? Penn State is out. Penn State is out. And it ain't even November.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
If Penn State plays Wisconsin, they not beating Wisconsin. And it doesn't matter. even if Penn State beats Wisconsin, it's not going to help them in their cause.
I'm looking right now as you're talking. Let's see. They do play Wisconsin.
You know,
November 10th at Wisconsin.
Yeah, not gonna help them. Yeah.
Penn State's got tough games. Penn State, John, they've got tough games the rest of the way. They're at Michigan State this week or on the 13th. They're at Michigan State.
It'll be Michigan State.
Michigan State's ranked in the top 20 again. Then they go the home game against Indiana Hoosiers. Your Hoosiers, and then here I'm gonna give you two trouble games before they play Penn State or before they play Wisconsin. Number one, October 27th, they go to Iowa and play Iowa. That could be a trap game.
It could be
as well. And then on the next week, they play at home against Michigan. John Harbaugh, then Wolverines come to town.
I think the Pack. Well, unless Colorado Colorado's only Pac-12 team that's undefeated right now.
I saw your tweet.
if Colorado can go undefeated, the Pac-12 is out. Okay? And even if Colorado does go undefeated, do you think Colorado could beat any – well, if they go undefeated, you would think, hey, they got a puncher's chance. They beat Washington State, they beat USC.
No.
But those
two, no chance.
So the Pac-12 is out. Notre Dame is seemingly – so long as the Orangemen kind of scare me. And I'm talking about if I was a Notre Dame fan. I know Notre Dame, they're not going to go crazy yet, Brandon. Right?
Oh, they're ready to go crazy.
But they are ready to go crazy. But they better are. There's a couple games still on there. Just two. Northwestern. This ain't your grandpa's Northwestern, okay? Northwestern can play, as we can see, as they kept they kept Pennsylvania and probably John Harbaugh's rear end this weekend. But we also learned right this weekend that John Harbaugh has probably, dare we say, the 1B defense overall in the NCAA.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that game.
He's got it. His defense. I mean,
John, they almost lost.
In the second half, he turned into a punt game. Every time I looked up, Northwestern was punting.
I feel like you'd turn your tide. If they would have lost that game, you'd be calling for his head.
I think what people automatically assume, so automatically you assume with John Harbaugh is what, quarterback guru. And maybe that's true too, but overall he's also a good quality football head coach. So emotionally, everybody wants John Harbaugh. Like, dude, I said it too. You got to beat somebody, and he does. He went out there and dog-walked Nebraska, but this is not Tom Osborne's Nebraska. We know this. This is Scott Frost's first year back. They're a team in obviously transition, and this ain't even the Nebraska from 2 years ago. So dog-walking Nebraska, it looked good, you know, for the Michigan alumni. You know what I mean? We're at the water cooler. Oh, man, we you see, you know what I mean? Who remember what Nebraska was back in, you know, in the late 90s, right? Or even 2000 when they're part of Big 12. But it's games he has to win. Michigan, and I think he will. I think they will beat Michigan State. I'm pretty sure they play Michigan State this year. They will beat Michigan State this year. He has a better team, even though his quarterback, who we thought, John Harbaugh, you're a quarterback guru, why ain't this dude – like Andrew Luck. Why ain't this dude like Colin Kaepernick? You know what I mean?
Right.
And for whatever reason, he hasn't brought in A level elite talent on the quarterback side. What I'm telling here to tell America with the crossbow listening audience is that what he has brought is a defense that can play with anybody, and he has a competent offense. But it's not it's not going to be Andrew Luck. I'm sorry. But the defense is going to be A level by the end of the season.
So, beginning of the season, you said I'm putting John Harbaugh in the hot seat. Is he officially off your hot seat now?
It's still a little warm. But he's got to
it's a little toasty. Okay.
Like, these are
well, I didn't know if I needed to put the graphic back out on the website that you have him off the hot seat.
Beating Northwestern is exciting, and having on pins and knees now, if he had lost it, things would have been like, oh, my God, John has fallen. And they probably would have been, you know. But if he beats Ohio State, they're definitely in the top four. They're in the playoffs. That's the only way he gets in the playoffs. He has to beat Michigan. Even if they take a loss to Michigan State, which I don't think – I like Michigan State, but they're not beating – I don't think they can beat Michigan this year. Even if they beat – but even if he would lose –
Ohio State, you mean, right? Ohio State.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you said Michigan, so I'm just confirming.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But even if he has to beat Ohio State. Has to.
Okay.
In order to get the championship game.
Couple quick hits we'll go through. Notre Dame very much quickly, shockingly destroyed Stanford. By the way, I went 7-1 in my college football picks this past weekend. Not the ones that me and you do, but the ones I do with the spreads for our parlay cards. And 7-1, pretty good monetary weekend off of sports betting. So cheers to that.
If Stanford's the only one to let me down, I think everything else I had, I call Nebraska, Purdue.
Yeah. So if I bring up our picks,
you allowed to go back home to West Lafayette after calling that for Nebraska?
I know, right? Well, it's funny. Eric Doherty, one of the guys that's a Crossroads Sports follower, he chirped me on there and said, go figure, and how the hell did you not go with your Boilermakers? Well, Eric, I honestly did not think they were going to win that game. I thought Frost and them would find a way and get the job done. I was totally wrong. Both of us only missed one game this week. I missed the Nebraska-Purdue game, and you missed the Stanford-Notre Dame game. Everything else, we were all the same.
Yeah, well, the good thing about Purdue getting back to winning ways, it makes the overall conference of the Big Ten a little more competitive and a little bit more, well, you know what I'm saying, when we talk about bragging rights, who's the better conference at the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big Ten, so on and so forth. It looks like it's going to be a dogfight in the middle between the Purdue's of the world, the Northwestern's of the world, the IU's of the world. I tweeted this also, Like, I would take the middle part of the Big Ten, and I know this is just for bragging rights, not necessarily for the championship, but I would take the middle part of Big Ten over any conference. You give me the middle part after your top three teams, I'd take the Big Ten teams.
Interesting. Okay, I did see that. I've got your over the weekend, I figured out how to fix some notifications on Twitter, so anytime I see a at Three Foolish Men tweet, I always get an alert for it. So, I gotta see what's instantly on that mind if I need to do a quick response back.
I mean, Texas part of the SEC is not there yet.
I would take West Virginia, and well, let's see. If you go Big 12, I'll take. Big I would still take.
They can't never stop nobody, Brandon. They can never stop anybody.
Yeah, but I would almost take Texas. Well, Texas, I guess, is upper echelon. So is West Virginia, and so is Oklahoma. I guess that's your top. Yeah, you're right. Those are going to be your top guys, and obviously I would take them over the middle of the Big Ten. But if we're comparing our middle Big Ten to the rest of the conferences, are you talking the rest of the conferences' middles or their tops?
I'm talking about the rest of the conference middles. Now, you bring up
except
a good
SEC.
Point.
I would take SEC over
know.
It. But.
I don't know if Texas, this incarnation of Texas, if they drop them in the middle part of the Big Ten, could they beat IU? Sure. Could they beat Michigan? Nope.
Ooh. I bet they could. I think they could.
You think? Wow.
I think they could. I hope we see
they
it. I hope we get the bowl game.
I hope we.
Beef O'Brady's or Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, whatever you want to call it. Give us Michigan and give us Texas. I want to see it. John wants to see it. We'll do a Crossroads show live as the game's going on at B-Dubs for it.
See
it. I do. Boy, I'll tell you what. Well, and it was right after we did our show last week. We were talking about Clemson. How good they were. Boy, they had a scare against Syracuse. Their one quarterback, Kelly Bryant, like minutes after we got off the air with our show, Kelly Bryant announced he was going to transfer because they promoted Sunshine from Remember the Titans as their main quarterback. And then he
right.
gets a concussion. Clemson's
right.
in disarray.
Dabo said he welcomed the quarterback back with open arms. I guess I would too. Yeah, Clemson's in a bit of disarray. If their championship hold, at least to get there, or we're in doubt, they're critically in doubt now.
Can I give
I
you my
know.
Top five?
It edges Notre Dame. Do you really believe Notre Dame's a top five team, though?
No. That's why I got them. That's why I actually have them at. I've got them at seven.
I'll go for that. Go for it. Give me your top five, Brandon.
So, obviously, number one, the Alabama Crimson Tide, no changes there whatsoever.
Right.
Number two, I'm going to go Oklahoma Sooners at number two in the Big 12. I am a believer of that quarterback. I'm a believer of that offense and that defense that they have. I feel like they are playing better football right now than Georgia's playing. They're better football than Clemson's playing. So, I've got Bama 1. Oklahoma Sooners number 2. I've got the Ohio State Buckeyes at 3. I got LSU at 4 and Clemson at 5.
I would have LSU. I think LSU, even though Oklahoma State puts up a lot of points, I couldn't have a Big 12 team in number 2 slot.
I know you
and
can't.
But LSU should definitely be in it. I would put LSU in top 3. I'd have to put Ohio State in top 2. Alabama's obviously number 1.
Yep.
Number 4.
Clemson.
I would put
Oklahoma, Notre Dame.
I would put Clemson just because of record, but ultimately it's going to catch the injury bug. And if he can't get consistent enough quarterback play from whoever's playing, they're going to lose a game or two and be out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Give me one second.
I can't believe
here.
Kentucky beat Florida. When was the last time that happened?
33 years. 33 years, and it finally happened.
Kentucky Wildcats.
They did. So we have our traditional, nothing better than a Saturday in October. You get the SEC college football. You used to have Vern Lundquist back in the day. Let's review our picks for this week. Week six. Both of us sitting right now currently 25-9. So we're still above the Mendoza line by a significant amount. Kind of a half-assed list this week with games. First off, Northern Illinois, 2-3, traveling to Ball State, 2-3. I'm going to take the Cardinals once again.
Got to go with the home team, Chirp Chirp.
All right. Battle in the Big Ten, number four, the 4-1 Indiana Hoosiers travel to OHIO, Ohio State. Massacre in Columbus. Ohio State rules.
Yeah, have you ever seen Avengers, the last one?
Yes. Thanos?
Yeah, that's what Ohio State would be to IU the Avengers. So, Urban, he'll be nice, but it'll be a gentleman blowout.
Okay, next matchup.
He'll let him score 20. He'll let him get the 20.
Okay. Number 6, Notre Dame, 5-0, traveling to number 4. Doing the Blacksburg, number 24, Virginia Tech. I think Notre Dame wins, but I think it's close.
Yeah, I glance over Notre Dame's schedule, the remaining schedule, and the only games that I have fearful for Notre Dame is they have another game with Northwestern, scary Northwestern, and they also have a game with Syracuse that people they automatically assume that Notre Dame's going to flatten, but that might not necessarily be the case.
Gotcha. Number 5, LSU, traveling to Gainesville, take on number 22, Florida. SEC battle. John, who you got? LSU, Florida.
LSU, what the hell happened to Florida? What happened?
And I was never a believer. I love LSU's coach. I think he is – well, he talks about that shrimp boat down there. We got to sit there.
I'm saying, what happened to the program that was Florida?
That shipped out back when Ron Zook took over in Florida.
Clearly.
So there's a name for you. The Maryland Terps, 3-1, traveling to the Big House with Michigan. I think Michigan rolls 42-10.
You gave Maryland 10? Yeah.
I am.
Michigan rolls over Maryland. Rolls them over.
And I only picked that game on here because I know your allegiance to Jim Harbaugh. We have to have a Jim Harbaugh conversation or talk in every one of our shows.
What's funny, I bet if Jim Harbaugh, if the conglomerate that is the Michigan, alumni or the school, whoever keeps Jim Harbaugh employed in Michigan, if they ever thought about firing, I guarantee you Florida, they'd have to talk to Jim Harbaugh. Florida needs to get their act together. Sorry to go back to Florida, but, yeah, they're back together.
Oof. Okay, we got one last pick. We got 35 minutes left in the show. The Red River Shootout, number 19, Texas, 4-1, traveling and taking on number 7, Oklahoma, 5-0, my number 2 team. Got the Boomer Sooners.
Not a believer in Texas, and I know these rivalry games take different form, especially down in the Big 12 area, but I'm going Oklahoma.
All right, so we're going chalk. No drama this week, folks. We'll at least be tied again. We'll see how we do with this week's picks, these six games. Ball State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, LSU, Michigan, and Oklahoma. The Boilermakers have a week off, bye week. They get Ohio State in 2 weeks, and that could be interesting. let's see.
A lot of game tape. They can watch the Hoosiers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be able to run the call this weekend.
Final thing we'll talk about tonight quickly, John. The NBA preseason has officially started, and I watched a little bit while the Steelers were getting their asses handed to them on Sunday night. I sat here and watched a little ESPN and watched this guy.
LeBron James,
LeBron James. Lakers uniform. I watched them on Sunday night. They took on Denver. A tough Denver team, by the way. Very tough. There's going to be some growing pains for the Lakers. I think these people are sitting there. Cowherd saying fifth seed, fourth seed. Coach of the year is going to make Luke Walton. I don't believe it. I think they're going to be a seven, as high as a six seed, but mainly a six, seven, or eight seed for the Western Conference.
I didn't get to watch any of the I agree with all your total assessment of where you think the Lakers might fall. I didn't get to watch any of his. I did get a quick glance of Gordon Hayward back in action. Seemed like he was a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I saw him go for a block on that leg. Oof. That scared me.
Yeah, I'm sure Brad or Coach Stevens would bring them on, both him and Kyrie, because Kyrie also played a whole lot slowly. I don't think the Pacers tip off till
Thursday.
Tomorrow? Thursday?
Thursday
okay,
night,
okay.
Houston.
Yeah, so maybe we'll have some feel good after, you know, the what you said. I think it would be just a regular Patriot loss from the Colts, not necessarily a Patriot blowout. So maybe we'll have some awesome feel good from what we see from the Pacers. Even if the Pacers lose the preseason game, it would be good to see team in rotations kind of going to look like.
Right. I don't think we're going to see a lot of the rotation that we want to see currently. With camp starting, the Pacers do have two injuries to their starters, and they most likely will not play Thursday night at Houston. Thad Young currently has a bone bruise on his foot. Apparently, he was trying to do new sneakers, and it just wasn't cutting it, so he's back to his PG2s. But Thad Young is dealing with a bone bruise. He didn't participate in the Fan Jam scrimmage at all. And Bojan Bogdanović, he sprained his ankle pretty bad this past summer during the playing for his home country, Croatia, in a European tournament. But he's been somewhat practicing and such. So they're starting to get him back into the rotation. But probably won't see those two on this Thursday, but that's going to open up minutes for other guys. And it should be interesting to see. I heard good things about Edmund Sumner, who was the Pacers draft pick a couple years ago from Xavier. He set out last year with that torn ACL. I'm hearing good things. He's going to need more reps. I will give a shout-out to Scott Agnes from The Athletic. I've been talking with him back and forth, chatting online about Sumner and some of these the rotation minutes for the Pacers, Kyle O'Quinn. I do think there's a spot for Kyle O'Quinn in this lineup. He wants somebody that can go in there, battle, and get those rebounds, and that's McMillan. He even said that, so I think O'Quinn's going to find that spot for him.
The Pacers are going to be real deep, and we're going to win a lot of games. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a nice little ride, you know.
Yeah.
That's what
9,000 people were in attendance.
I don't like to hype up and say, hey, man, Pacers are going to win. You know, we're going to be the division, but we're going to win a lot of games. I do know that with this team right here. So.
Yep. I agree. Kind of a quick show tonight. You got baseball getting ready to start up, I guess. Do you have anything else this evening? Anything else on your mind?
Man, you talking about NBA, you ain't talking about my boy Grayson Allen.
I saw him drill four threes. the boy can play, I guess. We'll see how he does.
Yeah, just preseason game number one. So yeah, we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But yeah,
are you going to turn in this Friday morning at 6 a.m. and watch this WWE Super Show? See your boy one last time, John, Triple H, Undertaker.
Absolutely not. Here's the deal. I don't know. The WWE has never sold their product in Australia. I couldn't believe it. So like. And for it to be, it has to be terrible. It has, like, all the Australian, and I know the answer to this, all the Australian people so far behind, they still think that Triple H and Undertaker is a draw. Like, that's what you want to see? You know what I mean? Out of all the things, was Butch and Luke not available? Was the Butch not available? Outback Jack.
Are they both still alive?
Jack, or Outback Jack, whoever. You know, that was good. There hasn't been that many wrestlers that use the Australian or New Zealand, you know, gimmicks or whatever, except for those folks. So, I just assume that they'd already been there.
Hey, but, did you see your boy, Ric Flair, giving that pep talk at Stanford Stadium for Georgia?
Oh, man, Ric Flair, you know, Ric Flair is a national treasure, man. I get an enjoyment out of people who post old YouTubes, pre-WCW, NWA promos of Ric Flair. I really don't know why more wrestlers or aspiring wrestlers don't listen to some of his old promos. You can get so much out of, and I think that's the reason why Ric Flair obviously is a great talent, also in the ring. You can pretty much do everything, take the punishment, so on and so forth. But what was golden about him, besides his hair, was his mouth, right? And how he could talk and how he could sell whatever they were trying to sell. You know, he could talk crazy with the best of them. And like I said, he's an inspiration when you see him. There's no way you cannot get a kinetic feeling about, you know what I mean, whether, you know, style and profiling, he's, you know, and he'll maybe take off the coat and elbow drop it. I'm like, dude, he's nuts. He's nuts.
Slick Rick. That was my favorite one, Slick Rick.
But he gets you hyped up and gets you believing in, you know, whatever he's going to do. So, Brandon, when it comes to wrestling, I try to keep up with a little bit. Not like I'm not as hardcore as I used to be. I just like a good storyline. You know what I mean? I kind of keep a lookout for all the independents now, more so than anything. So I still keep an ear to the Ring of Honors and the Lucha Underground, and even, believe it or not, TNA. But sometimes it's hard to watch. Sometimes, you know, guys, you know, learn the craft is hard to watch. So I still watch. I still watch the independent.
Yeah, we've got your boys, NWO reunion here later on this month down in Tampa. They're doing something. I'm not quite sure what that is, but WWE, they're here next week.
Brandon, I know.
They're here.
Are you old enough? Did you ever get to a Nitro?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I watch a lot of them. I watch a lot of them on the network still. I go back and watch a lot of the old episodes.
What did you think about that era when you know what I'm saying, when you can think about it?
Oof.
That Nitro. Well, not necessarily the era and like how things fell apart. None of them. I'm talking about being at one of their shows versus like what it's like to be at a Raw show.
It felt like a B show, not only the pyro, but the presentation that they have. And I don't know, maybe that was me going into it a little pre-thinking, hey, this is going to be like, it's not WWF, so it's not going to be as good. So maybe that was a little bias a little bit. I will tell you that growing up with WCW and WWE or WWF, both going on, was one of the greatest times ever to be around, because if you liked wrestling, because I remember it was a Monday night, so you'd be in front of that television, 7 o'clock, you'd catch that first hour of Nitro. That way they could see what matches you were going to have. You'd hit Raw over 8 o'clock. You see Stone Cold and them come on there, a couple stunners here and there. And you flip during commercials, you keep flipping back. I loved that time so much. It was a great time. I love watching those Monday Night Wars.
Right. Very entertaining. Very, very much great entertainment. I totally agree with you. I don't. Guess what? Football's also on. So, I do remember all that. I love WCW, obviously, you know what I mean? And I always like to see the guys, like, surprise. Vince knew everybody when Lex Luger came over. Hell, he knew. He just, you know, he didn't really care. But, you know, those type of things, when those guys used to show up and they were, you know, a week before they were on another show, that always, you know what I'm saying, made me like, wow. That was my wow moment.
Right.
But it was Lex Outsiders.
One last thing off of wrestling real quick. I forgot about the NBA. Did you see Kevin Durant? He said that he plans to be very honest with the Warriors about his pending free agency this next summer. To me, John, that is code for that it was nice. We've had our run. I'm leaving, and he'll probably go to the Lakers with LeBron.
Right, because then all those contracts go away, and they magically, deliciously find, you know, an extra $10 to $12 million, and him and LeBron team together.
Do you think they get bored in Golden State? Keep winning, and you get bored. I guess not bored. You just kind of get numb to the situation.
Well, you know what? The question you never asked me, Brandon. Whose team is it? Ask me.
Whose team is it, John?
Steph Curry's team.
It's not Draymond's. It's not Durant's.
Well, they have a unimind. They have somewhat of a, you know,
John. Rank them. Rank the five starters on. I guarantee you, I know who your number five is in ranking.
They can win the championship without Kevin Durant.
Correct. Okay, so is he number one or two?
Well, hold on. But when Steph is hurt, they can't win a championship. Right? When Steph was hurt, they didn't win a championship.
But Durant wasn't there for that. Was he?
Yeah, but when Steph was hurt, no, he was not. Durant.
No.
No, but Steph had already beat Kevin Durant and Westbrook. So again, I didn't need you. We just recruited you. Say, hey, man, come on over here. And it was a new idea. Yeah. No, it's Steph's team. Draymond is the emotional leader, and he kind of helps to make everything go, but the stew pot is Chef Curry. That's his thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're not. If you had to rank your Golden State Warriors and thinking in your head, I think you're going to go Steph Curry number one. I think you'll go
Steph Curry's a player than him. That means that that's his team. He's the leader
right.
of the team.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So I guess the point I'm trying to get to is when you're sitting there and you're thinking of the Golden State Warriors, you're looking at this roster, who's the last one you're thinking of that's not getting any love in any of this and really is kind of going under the radar, and he may even jump ship just because he's playing fifth fiddle?
Well, that would be Klay Thompson.
Yes, absolutely. Hit the nail right on the head.
Again, there's going to be a lot of money thrown around, bandy around, and deals trying to be made. I imagine Danny Ainge will try to get a piece of the door, or at least get a foot in the door for a talk. But when it comes to next summer, when he talks to him, and obviously Klay has a relationship with the Lakers, and his father played for him and won championships with him and whatnot. And we know they're trying to do something special in L.A., so, of course, with LeBron signing. I think there's a better odds that Klay Thompson stays over Durant.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's 80% Durant leaves, and
because we never won a championship without Klay Thompson. He's been here. He's one of our prom dates. He took us to the junior prom.
Okay.
So why would I spit in his face?
Real quick, Jimmy Butler update.
Jimmy Butler, they need to trade him.
He wants to go to Miami. I told you, Pat Riley has one last thing in him. This could be it.
Minnesota wants too much for Jimmy Butler, and if maybe they need to call the owner directly. I don't know, but even the owner can't do certain things. Even the owner can't do because you're limited by the salary cap and salary demands. You can't trade, Jimmy Butler for coleslaw. You know what I mean?
Could Jimmy Butler end up a Celtic?
I don't think Danny Ainge doesn't want to tear up his team. Danny Ainge doesn't want to tear up his – to make Jimmy Butler happy to be with Kyrie Irving? No, I don't – if it don't work out with Kyrie, hopefully it does. Why do these dudes – I don't know why these dudes are getting like this. I hope it doesn't keep on getting like this, Brandon, honestly, where people be like, well, it's his team, it's my team. And I know I use these terms, I use the term loosely, I'm saying who's the leader of the team. So, right. But I hope Kyrie doesn't get into his feelings and, like, think there's a better situation just because now you're over here because you want to go for the run and you and Jimmy Butler are going to play with, put a team up and go play for the Knicks or whomever.
Right.
Like, you're on a great team right now. You're playing with a kid who people are comparing to Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah.
And you're playing with a guy coming off, elite level guy, all star coming off of injury. Yeah, but he's coming, but he is an elite level guy, and that team is deep, and that team is ready because it was right there. You know what I'm saying? Last two seasons of trying to get to the finals. So if you're into winning and into getting paid, which you know he's getting both right now, why would you want to mess that up? Right. This particular season.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I
can't see that.
The Jimmy Butler drama continues.
Yeah, he'll end up somewhere where the Minnesota wants him to go.
Okay, well, tonight, you've got a lot of sports on tonight. You've got the Cubs game just started a minute ago. First pitch just happened. Uh-oh. But you've got NBA, it's on tonight on TNT. You've got the Celtics. And the Cavaliers, not your typical matchup, but they just started now at 8:00 on TNT. And then tonight, John, your little sleep fest you can go watch. You can watch Denver and the Lakers from Staples Center this time. LeBron's home debut, Nuggets Lakers at 10:30 on TNT.
Yeah, I won't be watching that snoozer.
So, all right, John, well, I do want to thank you again for joining. Once again, as always, we'll be back on next week talking, recapping the craziness that is probably the NBA, the NFL, and college football again.
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me on again. I want to thank all the listeners for letting us, you know, vent and educate. Thank you.
Absolutely. Take care, buddy. I'll see you next week.
How are you? Take care.
All right, that was Jonathan Birdsong joining us once again. Thank you, John. We'll go to a quick ad read, and then I'm going to give you my top five sports picks for this week for you to put a little bit of money on and make yourself a big winner. We'll be right back. Today's show is brought to you by Drone Pro Media. Drone Pro Media delivers top-quality drone services with expertise and professionalism, specializing in aerial photography and videography using the highest quality drone equipment. Drone Pro Media is eager to provide you with outstanding aerial videos and photos for your next project. Visit them at dronemedia.com. That's DroneProMedia.com. Also, give them a call at 317-883-7404. That's Drone Pro Media, taking your flights to new heights. All right. Special shout out again to Drone Pro Media for the sponsorship, as well as Blog Talk Radio, where we do this every single week, blogtalkradio.com. My five picks for you this week, folks. Ohio State is -25.5 against the Hoosiers. Go ahead, take Ohio State and give up that 25.5. Notre Dame -6.5 against West Virginia. Go ahead, take the Irish there, that 6.5. You'll be happy. LSU -2.5 against Florida. LSU -2.5. The Patriots -10.5 against the Colts. I think they cover it and blow out the Colts, unfortunately. And then the final one, Steelers -3. Here's your parlay one. Steelers -3 and the over-under of 56.5 over against the Falcons. It will be a shootout. Steelers will win this game at home on Sunday. Those will be your picks. Go ahead and put those in Bravada or BetDSI, where my bookie, wherever you tend to put your sports bets in. I'm Brandon Reif. I want to thank you guys for joining us again. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Brandon Reif, at Crossroads Sports, and at Three Foolish Men for Jonathan Birdsong. And we'll see you guys again next week. Same place, same time. Take care. Have fun. Good week of sports.
Crossroads Sports.